You're listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast on KSVG 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, City of License, Mettler, California.
From sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King. With retard.
You say funny things.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sofa King podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Thursday. What's the date today?
The 8th.
It's the 8th to you guys.
It's the 8th to us. But what is it to you?
I already did this once before. I hope it goes better this round.
Are you time traveling?
Yes, I'm back to do it again.
All right. So we've time traveled back in time. It's actually Tuesday for us, Thursday for you. No, it's not Tuesday. What day is it? Sunday. What the hell?
Time travel is very confusing.
Yes, it is. We get confused where we're at.
We call the past, you call the future. You guys are way behind.
Yep.
The other problem is because of Huey Lewis, I can never simply say I'm going back in time. I have to say I'm going to go back in time.
If you do that, the full podcast, I'm going to punch you.
Like, there's no, it's like, even if I just want you to know, if I don't say it, it is what that track has already played in my brain. Anytime for my entire life, when someone says back in time, I think back in time instantly.
Can we please cut that later and try to get it back into the song?
Yeah. So you're listening to Savage Radio, 89.7 FM, Bakersfield. And this is the Sofa King podcast. And we are talking time travel.
Yes, indeed.
Is it possible? Is it real? Can you do it? I don't know. Can you?
I don't know.
Wait, we just said we did, so I guess it is possible.
Well, Brent has.
I did. You guys didn't.
Oh, okay.
Well, Brent, so, let's give a shout out. You're going to be on another podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to be a guest on a podcast about Back to the Future 2, actually, because it is the date that Marty went to the future that's finally coming up, and we're going to talk about what things came to pass, what did they get right, what did they get wrong, and
clarify, Marty McFly, when he goes into the future... like 89 or something. What year was
it? No, it's still 85.
85.
It was just released in 89, so it messed you up.
So he's leaving in 85, and he travels to
October 21st.
21st, 2015.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's when the podcast will be released.
Yeah, they're going to release it on that date. It's called Project VCR, and you can get it in all the normal places, iTunes and whatnot. It's some friends that I went to school with when I was younger, and they're both geniuses. I'm intensely intimidated to be on there with them. They can talk about a 10-minute short film for 2 hours. They'll break it down by second. I think they have scripts in front of them or something. I don't know what's going on. They're really good, though. I'm not worthy, but I'm going to give it my best. So
in the realm of movie time travel, we are approaching a very important time travel date.
Yep.
October 22nd, 1932.
Yes.
Jaws 19.
A date that will live in infamy. Yep.
Well, I'm going to start off with an article that I read about Albert Einstein's theory of time travel. And it's actually people equate space and time, or, you know, space travel, time travel. It's actually his theory. It was one thing. It's space time travel. And I thought it was interesting because of the way the scenario worked out. And this is actually a real scenario by Albert Einstein that actually says that time travel is true. We can actually do it, but we don't have the means yet.
Okay. And for listeners who don't know,
Albert Einstein was a genius.
Was smart. Yes. So you can just.
He was just a patent clerk. He couldn't even tie his shoes in kindergarten.
That's true.
That's because he was thinking of mathematical problems.
If you don't know who Albert Einstein is, please turn off the radio and go away.
That's my excuse for being lost in space and time. I can't get to 7-Eleven, but
honestly,
I'm really good at fixing stuff.
Honestly, though, if you don't know who Albert Einstein is, you should probably stop driving and listening to the radio at the same time.
Yeah, that might be an issue.
So
Einstein's theory.
So special relativity, it's basically what I liked about the theory was that it deals with years as opposed to, I guess years are time. But how it calculates them, it says that if you were, if you left home at the age of 20, on this mission through time, basically once you get out of gravity's pull, time changes.
Right.
So if you traveled at the speed limit of 186 miles per second, you could travel that speed and just keep going. And if you did it, for 5 years and came back home through that span.
Right.
When you got back, your time limit, you'd be 25 years old. But when you got back, everybody else would be 65 years of age that was the same age as you.
Because time dilution, is that what they call it?
Yes.
Dilation.
Yeah, basically time travels slower when you're outside the gravity pool and you're traveling in through space.
And especially if you're approaching the speed of light, it tweaks things out.
And that's where this gets complicated because we can't actually travel 186,000 miles per second.
Right.
Per second, not hour.
Right.
So that's insanely fast.
But even though Dave is taller than us, so technically at some level that we can't measure, time is different for Dave than it is for us.
That's because he's
taller. That's weird, right?
That is weird. Well, no, I know because I know that one of the first experiments where they realized that time is specifically altered by gravity is they build atomic clocks that measure time based on a constant radioactive decay of an isotope.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to build. I built one.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. I got one on my nightstand.
Not a big deal. But they put them in space and they realized that all of the clocks that were in space were inaccurate the same exact amount because they weren't in the gravity well. So the farther the clocks go from the gravity well that are this hyper, nanosecond detection, it could tell if we pulled that clock on Earth, it's going to be because the clocks that were on Earth that were synced with them were now seeing a discrepancy because they weren't in orbit farther away.
Well, that's what this goes off of. It says, you know, if you began your journey in 2003 and you travel for 5 years, it would only take you 5 years to travel to the year 2053.
Oh yeah,
so
that's weird. I mean,
yeah. that's the theory behind this is that once you get out there and the time is different from how we calculate it on Earth, it would have passed. I wonder though if you would age the same. Like you would only celebrate five birthdays.
Time actually only seems like 5 years passed. It's a matter of perception, though. I have a problem with that because it's not really time travel because we're all sitting here watching you zip around for 25 years.
Time is made up by man. What is time?
It just felt like 5 years to you is the trick. Like if we could see you in your journey and measure the progress of it, and you had some little beacon sending back to us, it would still take you 25 years as far as our perception is, or however many years we said it was.
Yeah.
And it would just feel like 5 years to you because you're approaching the speed of light.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of perception. It's the time dilation thing makes it feel like time travel, but I don't truly feel like that's time travel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if you would age, you know, like you'd come back and you'd only have celebrated five birthdays.
Yeah, you will have celebrated five. It's like the movie.
You look like you're 65.
Right.
You know, like is that.
No, you would look like if you left when you were 20, you'd come back and you'd be 25, but everything else would be 60 years later.
Yeah, and you would stay the same looking.
You'd be
though?
Only 5 years. No, will
only
have
five. It
you.
Would only seem like 5 years. 5 years would actually only pass for you. Like if you watched a movie, it would still be 2 hours long to you. That amount of time would pass. But to us, we would just watch your whole journey go. You would be traveling for that amount of time, but it would just seem to you.
So you're more altering time than actually traveling through time.
Yeah, that's why they call it time dilation.
But you could actually, I see that moving forward though. Like, I think you could do that because they actually have the theory of it and right. We just can't travel that fast.
It's just a matter of getting fast.
It's a matter of getting fast. But how can you go back in time when it's already happened? Like you can't,
that,
like
that
that's
gets the into
theory
the
of
that
yeah,
gets into the question.
That's where all of the science fiction stuff comes
that's
in.
That's where science fiction comes in, yeah.
Yeah, that's harder to believe. The forward traveling, like I see where they're coming from and like how that could happen. You know,
and
like
in
what
the
you're saying about
in the movie Interstellar, that's one of the things that happens a lot in the movie is when they get to their location, Matthew McConaughey's character's daughter is now an adult instead of a little girl, even though to him, not much time has passed. And then even when they go, like in the movie at one point, they have to go down on a planet that has like a higher gravity and all this crazy gravity madness. And they go to the planet for a couple of hours. And when they get back to the main ship, the guy's been sitting on the ship for like 20 years.
Yeah, that was a cool
just
thing.
Waiting for a couple of hours that they perceived. So that's, that a lot of that has to do with that speed, how fast you're going, et cetera. And that does change time. So I don't know. I don't know if I would call it time travel. Maybe we would have to call that space time travel because you're traveling in space and time.
As far as the traveler is concerned, it is time travel.
Right.
You know what I mean? But to the to everyone else, but as far as the perception of the traveler, it serves the purpose.
Right.
If you needed to not be dead in 100 years and get to 100 years to accomplish a task or see something, you could do it if you had the ability to travel the speed of light.
So I wonder if they have that ability and just haven't told anybody. And they have people traveling and they're going to come back.
Well, there are people that claim so.
So when we talk about traveling back in time.
Music later, Brad.
There's real, especially when you look at films and science
back
fiction.
In time.
Back in time. There tends to be, I mean, there's pretty much four theories about traveling backwards in time. I'll say it that way and then I don't have to do it. If you're traveling backwards in time, the first theory is you can't ever, end of discussion, party pooper, wet blanket. Like you just, it's not physically, it's not physically possible. You cannot travel back in time. It's already existed. Like that's one of the,
it's already happened.
Yeah. You cannot travel backwards in the time stream. That's theory number one. Boring.
Next. Boring.
But the when it comes to actually being able to travel back, there's three different things. There's if you travel back, you can have a fixed timeline. And a fixed timeline in fancy speak is called a Nokovov self-consistency principle. And what this means is that time travel is passable. You can travel backwards, but events are fixed. So if you went back to kill Hitler as a baby and yes, you can travel back. There you are in the timeline. There's baby Hitler. So when you get your gun and you're ready to kill baby Hitler, horse kicks you in the head and you die. And you've always died standing right next to baby Hitler. It's just that it never made the news. Or if you shoot the baby, then someone swaps out that baby with some orphan baby 10 minutes after you left. And orphan baby was always going to be. There's no way
you can alter the timeline.
Soon as you go back, whatever has already happened has already happened, and you going back has already happened as well.
That takes a real specific set of rules, though.
They're not saying anything changes. It's not like it changed because he said they swapped the baby. It wasn't like the universe put a new baby in place to fix things. It's that it happened that way in the first place.
You're just fulfilling the destiny of the occurrence of the event.
So, like if you showed up into, I saw one about a ballroom.
If you didn't go and shoot the non-baby Hitler, then the real baby Hitler wouldn't have been born in the first place, but it was always going to happen.
Whatever
you did was already going to happen.
I don't know.
So it's not like the universe mysteriously made a new Hitler appear. It's just that in the true history of your timeline, you like before, you know, this random baby was killed and some orphan was put in Hitler's crib and grew up to be Hitler, and that was always the way it was.
Right.
Or if you travel, you know, the more likely event is once you travel back, you're going to die before you just get a chance.
Yeah, you just killed yourself early.
Right.
Like you went back and killed yourself.
And you end
up. They have a thing called the grandpa paradox, and it's saying that you couldn't go back in time and kill your grandpa because then you never would have existed to go back in time to kill your grandpa.
Right. So that paradoxes are not possible in a fixed timeline. Mm-hmm. It's what it is. And I read, and this makes no sense to me, but according to space.com, which is run by NASA, a lot of physicists say that photons of light prefer self-consistence in the timeline, and that will stop any change from happening in the past.
So no matter what you did, it just wouldn't.
Right. It's already happened. The universe prefers it to already have happened. And it's just a law of physics and you can't change it. So that's one of them. So that's kind of how the first Terminator existed. That's how 12 Monkeys works. Like they travel back to try to change something. There's no changing it. It's always going to have happened.
So you've seen the butterfly effect, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what's that one? Because they go back and they change stuff.
I think that would be
they change stuff and then it totally flips the future.
That's one where you can make
that's
a
change. Different.
But in that one though, he still ends up crazy like his dad.
Right.
Spoiler.
I think that one would be old.
If you haven't seen it,
that was my sarcastic voice.
There's another one called the multiple universes theory, which a lot of people subscribe to, and I think the butterfly effect would probably fall into that one. And the idea here is, and physics actually plays this out and says, I mean, most physicists agree this is happening. If I right now, like in the studio, Brad just took a sip of tea and I thought, I really want a drink of coffee, but I was in the middle of a sentence, so I didn't. In some alternate reality, at that very moment, I did pause and drink my coffee, and there's an entirely different timeline that branched off from that decision. And there's an endless branching of infinite timelines from every second that then branch off of their timelines in every second, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So time travel in this model, I'm traveling back possibly not even to my own timeline, but to a similar timeline. Or if I do travel back to my own timeline, the moment I shoot the Hitler baby, I really did kill the Hitler baby, but all that I did was branch the timeline, and now I exist in an alternate timeline, but my timeline still exists. I'm just not in it anymore.
That theory is kind of crazy.
You've moved timelines.
So I've just hopped. I've created a new timeline, and that's what I'm living.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different endings happening right now to different things.
The reason I like that one is because it's the unlimited possibilities that every single event that could occur has occurred.
Right.
And there's a couple of weird things that people have showed to say in one of the universes, you threw your laundry in the dryer and it all came out folded.
So if you're religious, you almost can't believe in time travel. Because that would say that there's not, because everybody has a destiny, right? Everybody
unless you follow
has
my religion.
Destiny or God chooses when you die, you know, what happens. He already has a plan. So you actually couldn't physically believe in time travel.
No. Well, maybe he's just got like a really cooler plan that now involves time travel.
Maybe.
I've also heard the theory that if there was a God, he sees time from outside of what we conceptualize time. It would be like if you looked in your history book at a timeline of what had occurred.
Yeah.
He sees time as a timeline. It's not that he's predicting what's going to happen. It's that he sees that it's all going to happen.
Why
they
does it have
see
to be
this all happen.
It's because
Jesus was a time traveler, and I'm a follower of Jawadism.
Oh, this fits right in. Oh, good. Hey, did you guys see the hearing aid from 1938?
No.
Is that real?
That's real. It's a model.
It is an iRiver MP3 player from Best Buy in 2008.
That's a model 34A Audiophone carbon hearing aid from 1938. And it looks like an iPod with the volume control and an earbud.
Yeah, we'll have to post that picture. It really does look like an iPad.
One more of the crazy outcomes I want to say on Dave's theory. One of the other things of the unlimited possibility multiverse theory is that a monkey sitting in front of a typewriter slamming the keys at random will have produced the entire works of Shakespeare.
Somewhere, yeah.
Because
what is it?
So if every possibility that could occur has occurred in another universe, in the multi-universe theory, then a monkey could sit in front of a typewriter and slam the keys and produce the entire works of Shakespeare. because everything has already occurred that could occur. If every possibility, every possible outcome has occurred in one of those alternate universes, then that happened too.
Or will happen.
Yeah, yeah. I guess.
Even if it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So and that in makes movies, it a stretch. This is, and they call this one the Everett Wheeler model of quantum physics, and it deals with this multiverse thing. A lot of time travel movies, I think Terminator 2, T3, the Star Trek reboot with J.J. Abrams where Vulcan gets blown up. These are all examples of sort of multiverse. I think the butterfly effect would be an example of him constantly looping into different pasts. And then the final one is the dynamic timeline paradox, which is where Back to the Future comes in. And the dynamic timeline paradox is that if you go back in time, now I had to say it that time because that's where the song came from. So if you travel, you can change the past, and it erases the future and changes it, but you've already lived that future. It's already permanently your past. So even though you're changing the timeline, there's only one. It's permanently changed, and you still exist in it. So if you went back and killed your grandfather, you've just changed all of the future with your grandfather not existing. No one else in your family will ever exist, but you already exist. You're already in the timeline, and you just keep moving forward.
No, but in Back to the Future, he starts to disappear when he disrupted his parents.
Yeah, that's a movie.
This
is real life.
Oh, I guess that's true.
So that wouldn't work.
This is where paradoxes become possible. Time travel paradoxes become possible with that type of thing. Because then if you did kill your grandfather, there's only two possibilities. You kill your grandfather and then you snap out of existence, or you kill your grandfather and you're still there. I forgot that he started to fade out of existence.
Right.
But the other thing is too, though, it could be a blend of the two where you kill your grandfather, but then he wasn't really your grandfather in the first place. And that really wasn't your family.
No.
You know? So
Nope.
Yeah. You just said that was another paradox one.
Right.
Maybe if we're talking
I'm
crazy.
I'm blending.
Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to throw those out there.
That movie? Blended?
Blended? No.
No, it's a good movie.
But those are the four main, if you can travel back, what happens? Because you're going to change stuff. Things are going to happen. Those are the four things. They either don't happen. It's either a fixed timeline that you can never affect. There's the multiverses that are always spawning. And then there's the you can change the single timeline, and that leads to paradoxes.
Yeah, time's a hard thing to conceptualize. Michio Kaku, the crazy Asian scientist that you always see on every show, had a really good example of the reason we have such difficult time conceptualizing time in another dimension, because we all think of it just three-dimensional. Like, we can walk around in here and touch stuff. And he showed the Pac-Man video game. And he's like, see, in Pac-Man's world, he can move left and right and up and down, but there's no concept of depth for them. It doesn't mean anything inside of the Pac-Man reality. You know, he can
Even though we have it,
we can conceptualize it. But in Pac-Man's reality, there is no above him or below him. There is only the plane. So he used that as an example of why we see our three dimensions, but we have a really hard time envisioning and conceptualizing
4D or something
infinite,
else.
The existence of always, like, and I thought that was a really good example that he used to do that.
That's why when we think of space and you think of how, and we talked about this on our space and aliens episode, how, if you think about just the vast distance of space, you can't even fathom it.
It breaks your brain.
Yeah, right. you just, like, you hit a wall and you're like, it just never stops. And then also being, you know, parallel universes and all these, like, we're like layered like a fabric, you know?
Right.
And it's just crazy to even think about.
I totally think about it. It might break your brain.
No, I think
I make Pop-Tarts and I just conceptualize the universe all the time.
I went back in time and Tyrese, what's his name? Tyrone.
That's his brother.
He's my grandpa.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. Tyrese deGrasse Tyson. That's his cousin.
Chicken.
Was there a follow-up on what about him?
No, I was just saying, like, the when we think about that, we can't even fathom it. You know, it's just the depth of space and how far things are. We don't even know. Like, you think about how far is Mars? Well, we can see it and we think it doesn't seem that far when we think about it, but really it's pretty far. You know, it's not.
I watched that video again that shows the planets in perspective when it shows the moon and the earth and Mars and Venus and Saturn and Jupiter. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it shows our sun, and then it shows a sun that makes our sun look like the earth. And then it just keeps going to where you think there's no way it's going to get any bigger. And then you get to the last star that's so big, it would take a normal commuter jet 1,100 years traveling over the surface to circle it once at full speed.
Yeah, 1,100 years.
That's insane. Yeah, and then they show Earth, and you can't even show it. It's just
and there's
like
probably bigger stuff out there than that.
There probably is.
Yeah, we've just never observed
you just
it
can't,
or
yeah,
measured
you can't observe it.
It,
yeah. And there's probably thousands or even millions or billions of those same size stars out there. Like they just there's just it's spread out so far and so vast that we can't even, you know, reach it.
So on the internet there's some crazy pictures you were talking about earlier, the Charlie Chaplin video.
Yes.
That person, I obviously it's not going to be a cell phone that they're
okay,
holding.
Explain the yeah. Charlie Chaplin video.
Okay, the Charlie Chaplin video, it was made in 1928 and it wasn't until 2010 that this was discovered. And in the video, let me see, it's an old woman. It's supposed to be an old woman using a mobile phone in a short clip from the DVD extras of Charlie Chaplin's film The Circus, 1928. And it was spotted in 2010 by filmmaker George Clark. So basically,
it's a little shady that it was in the DVD extras.
It's in the extras, but if you watch, there's a lady and she, I mean, we're watching this. Obviously, you can't see this on the radio.
She is holding her hand to the side of her head.
Hand to the side of the head. They zoom in on it.
It looks like she's talking.
Yeah, it looks like she's talking. They zoom in and they show it. And she's holding a device to her ear, walking down the street in a black and white film. And
if we ignore that it's in the DVD extras and it might be shady, like, cause that bothers me a little bit, but you look at that person, you try to think about that time period and try to rationalize what could possibly be going on. That's excusing that weird behavior of holding something to your head. Yeah. Like what, if you're scratching your ear or brushing your hair, your hand would not stay in that fixed position like that. She has the postures of someone talking on the phone.
I don't know if it's an old lady or it looks like a man, kind of. I don't know.
No, I think it's a lady.
It's a person.
We'll post the video so you
guys
can
see it. But they're talking into something.
It looks like they're talking and they stop. It's like their attention is broken. Like they are paying attention and focused on something because they stop walking and stand in one place and rotate in the postures and behavior that someone speaking on a cell phone would do. Yeah. That's like a modern type of like physical behavior that's associated with talking on a phone. It really looks like they're on a phone. Obviously, there's no cell towers then.
Is that why you pulled up that picture of that hearing aid?
Yeah, because, well, this all goes along with it. There's the hearing aid thing. But this is
it could have been, like, actually, been some old school hearing aid that she's.
What year was Charlie Chaplin, though?
This is 1928.
All right.
That hearing aid was 1924. I said 38, but 1924. But the hearing aid is like an earbud. It's small. They were actually holding a device. In
no,
their
it looks
hand
like an
bigger.
Earbud and an iPad.
There's another one, too, right
which,
here.
Which, like, I know in the 40s in the war, like, headsets so for his, military guys
this
were
is
ginormous.
Time
you know?
Traveler, a 1938 film. It's a woman on a cell phone.
I've seen this one with the three women, right?
Yeah, and she's walking and talking on a big device. There's no wires. There's no
and
anything.
Her two
it's
friends just, outside of her are like, you know,
they know she's talking to
they're right by her and they're not she's not talking to them. They're not paying attention to her at
that,
all.
That one, I don't know. The Charlie Chaplin one I can't get behind because it's a closed movie set.
Yeah.
Like some random time traveler didn't show up on a closed movie set and walk onto the camera with a cell phone. But this other one looks like some sort of like raw footage of people walking through the street. It doesn't look like
that could
set.
Be a strategy, though. I mean, I'm just saying, like, for the sake of argument, like, if you're going to go back in time and you wanted to place something somewhere that was going to be around for proof later.
Movie. Yeah.
That's the only movie set going on was Charlie Chaplin, probably, right? There wasn't a lot of film happening.
And we talked about the time traveling hipster.
Right.
Which is an image of, I don't know, did you see?
Yeah,
you
I've
saw
seen
it. So it's a bunch of people standing around in 1941. They're in suits and hats. And then you have this guy with shades on with side lenses, a sweater, and a T-shirt.
And his T-shirt looks like a screen printed shirt. It looks like this dude left Hot Topic and traveled in through time.
Right.
Exactly. He has like some welding goggle glasses, like some.
Yeah, like he's like a steampunk. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but, you know, where is the source of these pictures?
And, yeah, and
you know?
Photoshop is so great nowadays that you can do anything and everything.
Yeah,
so
if
it's
I have
really
to,
hard.
If I have to make a choice between Photoshop and time travel.
You're choosing Photoshop?
I'm choosing Photoshop.
Here's the other one. Henry Fonda and Shirley Temple checking this. They're in a stagecoach route, and they're checking it on an iPhone in 1948 is what it says it shows them they're cowboys. They're on a stagecoach and they're in the stagecoach. He asks them how long till they get there. And then he pulls out a real thin device that he's looking at.
I think it's like a notebook.
It might be a notebook, but this is saying it's an iPhone.
It looks like when you see a detective pull out like a black leather notebook and it like flips open. Like that's what it looks. What I mean, there's a lot of people on the net though who make a lot of time travel claims. Like there's one guy in particular. I mean, we mentioned Mars a second ago, and there's a guy named Andrew Basagio who seems like a grade A lunatic.
I have to
say, from what I can tell.
He is so intelligent and well-spoken though. But the claims he makes wants you to just, your crazy alarms are just blowing up, but he is so fluently well-spoken about everything.
Anybody's saying that time travel is real and they're really believing it and they're like, hey, I went back in time, it's real. Wouldn't you go, you're kind of crazy. Like,
well, when I first started looking into Andrew Basagio, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'll see what he has to say. But he ends up getting to some claims that you're like, no, you're just a crazy person.
Let's give his claims at least first before we tear him apart.
Sure.
Because so he says that he was involved.
First off, he's a lawyer from Vancouver, Washington. And he did some writing. I'm not sure for what, but he did some journalistic writing and he had a little bit of a name as a somewhat reliable journalist and he was a lawyer. So he's educated. He was reputable. He's not just like some weirdo in a basement. Definitely intelligent. But then he started running a thing called Project Pegasus. Is that right?
Project Pegasus, yeah.
He runs Project Pegasus, which again, like...
Did he run Project Pegasus? I thought he was just involved in Project Pegasus when he was younger or something.
Maybe he just involved. Yeah. But to me, first red flag, go to projectpegasus.com, look at the web design. The guy's a lunatic. That's my first, when I'm looking for online conspiracy theorist lunatics, my first red flag is how horrible their website is. Like that. I
mean, yeah, they better have, if they're a time traveler, they better have an awesome website.
Come on, you better. But anyway, so break down some of his theories. Like, what's Basagio
saying?
So
it started at like in 1968, I think is when his stories start.
Let's go to a break first.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll get on to him.
And we'll talk to you about time traveler Andrew Basagio.
Yep. And we have some more. I have a connection with the Montauk monster that we talked about.
Ooh,
I saw Montauk. That, yeah.
So after this break, Savage Radio sponsors, you're listening to the Sofa King podcast. Stay tuned for more. We're going to tell you how to bury your dead animals after this.
Bakersfield Skateboard Company, supplier of quality skateboard equipment, apparel, and service. Owned and operated by local skaters, proud supporter of the local arts, music, and skate scenes. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Also open late on first Fridays. Located at 1918 I Street in downtown Bakersfield. The phone number is 333-6030. Brands include Santa Cruz, Independent, Thrasher, Vans, Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Brixton, Huff, Antihero, Primitive, and more. Also featuring local brands in Spectrum, Kernside, and Canvas. Catalog available online at BakersfieldSkateCo.com and daily updates are on Instagram at BakoSkateCo. Project O Magazine, Kern County's only photography and arts publication dedicated to promoting local artists and artist collaborations. Project O Magazine provides a resource for talented artists to share their projects, promoting collaboration, cohesion, and creativity. Their Facebook is facebook.com/Project O. People and artists can get involved with Project O through their website, projecto.com. From artists contributing their work, sponsors and vendors, or individuals who want to help with the overall production of the magazine, the latest quarterly issue of Project O is available at projecto.com or locally at Bako Skate Co. Shop. Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Hey guys, you're listening to Savage Radio. It's Thursday afternoon, and we are talking about time travel on this episode.
Back in time.
and Dave has done that 12 times that you missed.
And for us, it's Sunday afternoon, morning. So
Don't tell them that.
I do what I want.
It's time travel. It's excusable. Yeah, it's excusable. It's fine. We can do whatever we want. Okay. So, but we're talking specifically about people that have made claims as to actually physically traveling through time. And the specific character or person that we're talking about is Andrew Bisaggio, who is an attorney. He's a reputable man. It would seem so. He's educated and he's very well spoken, very, very intelligent. But I personally have a lot of trouble with my crazy alarm going off, and I'm a conspiracy theorist at heart. Like,
right.
I want to believe this stuff. So his story is that he was involved in something called Project Pegasus, which is a, like, I guess, DARPA operation, and specifically starting at like age 6 or 7 in 1968, he said he was recruited because his father was involved in something, and he was recruited because he's a child and they're supposed to be able to acclimate to the effects of time travel, or jumping, as he calls it, which is some movies that he could relate to. That I have a lot of things where I feel like he's a sci-fi author.
Right. And I will apologize. I misspoke earlier. I said he was in charge of Project Pegasus. He's just in charge of projectpegasus.com.
Okay.
Like, the website Project Pegasus is his website.
That he made on WordPress. He wasn't with one of his buddies. Yeah.
Not even WordPress. He made it on Dreamweaver in like 2001.
That's probably what's up. It just doesn't hold up anymore.
But anyway, so Project Pegasus.
Some of his best claims that I'm impressed with is he says that there were 10 original participants in a CIA jump program. And this jump program is to teleport to Mars. I'd like to point out that he grew up in Mars Plains, is the name of the town he lived in. And I thought that was kind of weird that he grew up in that town. And it might be some weird psychological association from some traumatic childhood experience, which is just my theory. And that he might be overlaying some memories to hide some stuff that happened with his dad in the woods.
Because, like, I grew up in Florida Sucks, Michigan. And to this day, I think Florida sucks.
Exactly.
See?
On that note, I want to give out a shout out to a guy named Swordlust. He's on my Game of War that I play. He's a cool dude. He lives in Florida, and he knows you hate Florida because he listens to the podcast.
Nice.
He can bring it.
We got fans all over.
F Florida.
So anyway, Mars planes.
So a Mars jump program, and the intent of this program apparently has something to do with the Illuminati repopulating Mars, because that's originally where we came from. But 9,500 BC, there was a catastrophic solar event that destroyed Mars. As far as I can't say it. Go ahead. Someone spit that word out.
What is
hospitable?
Being hospitable? Yeah, I guess.
Hospitality?
Maybe I don't know what word I was going for. So
I don't know what you're talking about. Hospitals?
Yeah, hospitals. It put all the happiness? Hospitals on Mars, and they couldn't care for the patients, so they had to go to Earth and start new hospitals.
Hacienda?
So I was doing really good up until then. But my favorite claim is that 10 original participants were involved in this project, one of them being Barack Obama, our president. And as a child,
why is it that the Illuminati and the CIA are involved in every aspect of any conspiracy theory that there is? Well, like, it's like
maybe they're the ones doing it. I mean, that could be, you know,
there's a lot of stuff going on.
How come my house burns down every time I light a match on the couch?
But yeah, no. So that was the turning point for me going,
that was it,
so apparently Andrew Bisaggio just eats bowls of crazy for breakfast. Because I'm, you know, it's like, I'm okay, you know, traveling through space and time, jumping to Mars, repopulating the planet with Barack Obama. Okay, you're a crazy person. And the thing is, because this is what I looked at, it said that it was Barack Obama, but that at the time, he went by the name Barry Sotoro.
Sotoro, yeah.
And not Barack Obama.
But I think that's like public information. I didn't look that up, but I think that's his whole thing. When he was little, he was named that.
It goes into a thing, though, but a lot of people point to Columbia University student ID with a picture of Barack Obama. And it says that it was from 1981 when he was at Columbia, and it says Barry Sotoro on it.
Right.
However, when I looked at that information, I went to Snopes.com, which is a website that basically tries to debunk myths. And Snopes.com looked at it and said this particular identification wasn't used until 1996.
Okay.
So that was not.
So somebody made
and
it.
And he was already, Obama was already in Harvard.
That's the problem with conspiracy theories.
Right, exactly.
It's people want you to believe stuff so bad. And it's another form of propaganda that they use to try and get you on their side. Like,
they said that the picture that was used on the Columbia ID is actually his picture from his Harvard ID, which came after the Columbia ID. And so, I mean, even people who are linking this Barry Sotero thing and saying, oh, yeah, because he was called that as a student. Well, it's like, not really. In a fake ID someone put on the internet, that's right. The name he went by as a student. But even that, I was just like, okay, you're a crazy person.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any truth to that. Well, the other thing is, one of the other main participants is a woman. I'll find her name at some point on here. But she was appointed...
Julia Childs.
No, it was something weird, actually. But she was appointed the 19th director of DARPA and the first female to ever be a director of DARPA.
What's her name?
Oh, wow.
It's something weird. I'll find it, sir.
Alfred Hitchcock.
I'm not going to read through it right here and figure it out. But he names some really high-level people. Obviously, they're not going to retort or comment in response to this stuff.
Right.
He has used Barack's ability to become president as his platform for his possible running for presidency.
Right.
He has intent on becoming the next president so that he can expose this stuff. He describes several of the locations in detail. His stories are in such detail that I feel like he either has a photographic memory or I try to relate it to The Fringe, the show.
Oh, a lot of what he said reminds me of the show Fringe.
That's all I could think about.
Yeah, but is the stuff...
I need to find out dates of when he said this versus when episodes of The Fringe came out. Because I'll be honest, one of two things is happening.
He's probably crazy.
He's probably crazy. But his description of the people that live on Mars is homely, like bald men. Because of their lack of DNA pool and having such a small breeding pool that it has like decrepitly created this creature and character that has to live subterranean, like some Orson Welles thing.
Everybody looks like Mr. Burns down there.
No, yeah. He put a picture.
Yeah, so they look like the observers from Fringe.
I watched one of his talks and it looks like the observer from Fringe, but he actually put a picture of Dr. Evil up on the screen and said that in all joking, this is a close comparison to what they look like. So they all look like Dr. Evil. And he says that during a childhood camping trip, I might be off on that. His dad took him to meet three of them because his dad, when he was a child, presented him with a scientific paper that he wrote when he was 47 in 2008 about the discovery of life on Mars that he actually wrote. But because of the time travel thing, they took the paper back to him in the 60s or 70s, and he had to read it and study so that he would have as much information as possible going into him discovering life on Mars later. There's like some crazy stuff, but when he tells some of his stories, he says that he went on a camping trip at Lake Shasta and Buzz Aldrin was in the forest and had a meeting with him and his dad. But the thing is,
it sounds like they were high on some mushrooms or something. Yeah.
He'll say, like, I was traveling down I-5, and by the time we got to exit 745 and stopped at the Farrell's Mini Market, and you're like, whoa, dude, you were 12. Like, how do you know it was exit 745? I really think that he's like, in his mind, he's a sci-fi author. And he's writing the story in such complete detail. And it's really hard to argue because the people he claims are involved, there's no way they're going to even respond if you had the ability of questioning them to the material. Yeah. And it's all dealing with top secret, high level security things that you can't look into.
Right.
You can't even try to argue it because who are you going to talk to argue it?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. Like if you can't prove it, you can't prove it. It's not real.
I think he's crazy.
Andrew Bisaggio. I think he's crazy. And again, when you first start reading about Andrew Bisaggio, it sounds compelling. And it's like, man, I want to believe this guy. That sounds cool.
Well, it's one of those things like you don't know. Like, is everything so jacked up around the scenario to where it's meant to throw you off? You know what I mean? Like, this guy is so crazy. You can't believe this guy. You know what I mean? Like that could be something that somebody wants you to believe.
I found the director of DARPA's name for you, Brad. And I know why I held back because I knew that it was really close to another word. And I had to be very careful in recalling it until I read it off the paper. No, it's Regina Dugan. So I had to be careful.
Just be Regina?
It's Regina. It was pronounced Regina at several occasions on the talk. So
and she was in charge of DARPA.
Yeah, but she's in charge of DARPA. And supposedly one of the jumpers.
So what about the other famous internet time traveler named John Titor?
I read a little bit about this.
Have you guys heard about this guy?
No, yes. I didn't see him.
So this was long about the year 2000. This guy named John Titor, T-I-T-O-R, using the name time travel underscore zero started talking on time travel chat. I don't know. What was it in 2000? A time travel.
I don't know, IRC or
something.
It was AOL.
Some sort of board.
Then, there was only AOL.
On some kind board, of, like yeah, a time forum. Travel board. And then also started talking about on the Art Bell's website. And that was sort of at the height of his conspiracy theory show, Coast to Coast. And he kind of blew up.
I would have believed him if he tweeted it in 2000.
Right.
That would have made more sense.
But John Titor claimed that he was born, that I forget what year he said he was born. But he traveled back in time from the year 2036. And in between 2000 and 2036, he said that there was a civil war in America after a president was elected, that nuclear bombs were fired, the atmosphere has been destroyed, et cetera, et cetera. And it said that the reason they sent him back, one of his missions, was that he first went to 1975 and he had to get an IBM 5100 computer.
I thought that was really funny. He needed a very specific model of computer to battle a virus that had ruined the world in the future. Right.
Because, and a lot of people, and he needed it to take it back to 2036. And he said the reason being that there's a legacy program. Basically, there's something to what he's saying, because in general, programmers in most stuff don't ever invent a whole new code. They just keep adding on top of pre-existing codes. So the theory here is that there was a deep, deep bug and they needed to get a computer that had the original source code so they could backtrack and find this bug and they could eradicate it. And some people think that he was actually referring to a Unix problem that's supposed to happen in the year 2038, kind of like Y2K, when all the computers came to the year 2000 and were supposed to freak out. In the Unix operating system, that same thing is supposed to happen in the year 2038, and people think maybe that was what he was stopping.
So we're good now.
We're fine, because it just makes Walmart get a bunch of money. Everybody just buys
water.
Right.
That's right.
And same thing in Y2K. Like, maybe somebody traveled back in time, fixed that bug.
Maybe
it was Sam Walton.
Yeah.
But so John Titor, and he posted actively for almost 2 years on these different sites. People would ask him questions. He said that his time machine is a, quote, stationary mass temporal displacement unit powered by two top spin dual positive singularities producing a standard offset Tipler sinusoid.
Sounds like a gyroscope and some lights.
Wait. It's installed in the trunk of a 1967 Corvette.
Coach would have put me in, man. Would have been all state.
I am not.
I picture Uncle Rico.
I'm not making that up. Because he had to travel to 1975.
That's a good car, though.
He had it there. But then when he came this time, he transferred it from the Prius? Corvette to like an 87 Bronco, I think.
So it's a small box. I saw the picture of it. He put schematics online, and as always, they were grainy, and you couldn't make them out. And the pictures of the time machine were grainy.
You see,
what the hell was that?
I have no idea.
Time traveler. That was me, guys. I'm back. turns out this guy, Titor, was born in 2008. I went and looked it up because he stopped in 2011 to visit himself as a three-year-old. So
that was crazy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't think that it would disrupt like that.
Right.
My
right.
LED gyroscope.
And he actually said in his posts, and again, at the time, this wasn't super common knowledge. Like a lot of people were kind of freaked out by him because he had like pretty in-depth knowledge of physics, and he would throw things out that like experts would say, no, that's actually a thing.
Right.
Most people just don't know about it. And he actually said that it's an Everett Wheeler model of quantum physics is the type of time travel that his device produces.
And that thing looks like a computer power supply.
I could see you needing the old computer, maybe. You know what? Because I mean, I work on computers, and I'm like, damn, if I only had just
like a schematic, it looks like an old computer power supply.
Yeah, right.
It has like the windings and all kinds of crazy stuff.
And there's like a patch, like his military insignia reproduced.
Legitly, that last fact they said, it is like he was born in 2008. So we should start looking. Let's find this guy. He's here somewhere, right?
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, we he's born in 2008. He visited himself in 2011.
We can kill him and see what happens.
Right. I mean,
you just can't travel back in time and kill him. We can kill
he's
him.
He's here right now.
Right. We could kill him right now. I'll kill a time traveling kid for no reason.
How so, old is he?
Well, speaking of time traveler.
8 years old.
Right yeah. Now? Speaking yeah. of time traveler deaths, there was a in New York, I guess his name's Rudolf Fence. He was hit by a taxi and fatally injured.
Just his nose, though. It's just really red.
Is that what it was? Oh, Rudolph. Yeah, the funny one.
God.
This was, he was hit in New York Times Square at mid-June 1950. He was dressed in the fashion of the late 1800s. In his pockets were a copper coin token for beer, a bill for the care of a horse and the washing of a carriage, and a letter from 1876, $70 and business cards. Without any signs of aging.
I saw that.
So what do you think about
that? And they showed a picture
that?
Of like a smashed kind of car thing next to him.
So yeah, what, people think he just popped into the street and got hit
yeah,
by a cab?
They don't know. It's kind of like an urban legend. Like he time traveled. He's from the 1800s. But how would he be from the 1800s? He would have needed to go back from the future.
Because there's something we haven't talked about yet called time slips. So natural occurrences in time travel that accidentally happen. And there's lots of people that make those claims too.
Okay, so we'll talk about that after we get back from the break. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast on Savage Radio, 89.7 FM, Bakersfield.
Whiskey Fest is coming to the Padre Hotel September 26th. They will be presenting over 50 whiskeys from all over the world. General admission receives 30 tastings, while the VIP receives early hour admission for early tastings with 5 extra tastings. It also includes a Bruce Lauder Scotch education seminar and tasting. Live music from the Roustabouts, Cigar Lounge, and food on the Prairie Fire. Ticket price and info at thepadrehotel.com/events.
Final applications. A graphic design and sign house specializing in logo and brand design, vehicle and fleet graphics, exterior and interior sign faces, window lettering along with banners and large format digital printing. Located in Old Town Kern since 1997, 319-6046. Are you interested in being a Savage Radio sponsor? Becoming a Savage Radio sponsor helps to keep us on the air while giving your business community recognition. Call our business offices at 873-5784. That's 873-KSVG.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Sofa King podcast on Thursday afternoon. Our topic today is time travel. We've talked about crazy people who say they've traveled through time, physics theories of time travel, and how it would actually work conceptually. And right now we were coming to a point where we got to time slips. And that is where it naturally occurs on accident. Someone like a pilot will have claimed to have flown through a vortex of weird clouds and ended up in a different time. I'm going to skip that one because we don't have a lot of time and tell the funnier one about a British man who was fixing his leaky sink that he came home to. This man came home to a puddle in his kitchen and crawled under the sink and saw a bright light. I personally think he might have bumped his head and had a dream if it weren't for his backup story and proof that he has. But he crawled under the sink and apparently continued to crawl in a John Malkovich fashion and ended up in a field where he encountered a 70-year-old himself. This man was probably 30, judging by looking at him. He returned with cell phone video.
When did this happen? Like recently?
Yeah, this is not that crazy. It's like, yeah, cell phone, and he was right. able to film it. Okay. So that would put it, you know,
I think it was in 2006.
There you go. Okay. So his main proof is he has a film of a man that does look like an older him, that they have a conversation. You don't get to see a lot of it. He seems like a rational guy, but it could be an attention getter. It could be his dad with a matching tattoo, honestly, and it would right. look like him. But this guy does look like an older him. In the video, they both hold their arm out. They have the matching tattoo. It could be henna. It could be Sharpie. There's not a lot of proof on it, you know. But there are several occurrences of these types of things happening where people claim to have slipped through time. So that's a time slip.
And his name's Nordqvist. It's like Scandinavian or something.
Oh, maybe he wasn't British.
Like Haken Nordqvist.
I always stereotype Europeans.
Yeah, 2000 slips. So yeah, I guess you could. Don't fall into a time slip.
Watch out under your sink. Don't go through the
apparently
hole.
The time slips only go forward in time.
Yeah, and what's crazy is he did. It says he filmed the encounter.
So yeah, he has a video. You can watch part of the video. His phone, I would like to see the whole video.
His phone shrunk through the hole that he went through, the wormhole.
He just crawled through a hole. I guess it just followed the light until he came out and saw himself. And they hung out, I guess, for quite some time and had a day of it.
Are you sure he didn't go into Narnia?
Maybe. There used to be a wardrobe there.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing that I want to talk about as we're short on time here is one of my favorite time traveling things ever, and this has been around for a while, as the outdated website will indicate. But there's a website called the Time Travel Fund. I think it's just timetravelfund.com. And the idea of Time Travel Fund is that you give them $10, they invest the money in a hedge fund, in something that's going to make money. And the idea is they're banking that as long as the human race doesn't completely extinguish itself, that 500 years from now, your $10 will be worth billions. And at that time, we'll have time travel and all sorts of sophisticated stuff.
You can come back and get your money.
No, you don't come back and get your money. What happens is, because they don't want to pollute the time stream, so they already know because of their records how and when you're going to die. So if you're going to die of cancer in a bed at 12:07 o'clock on whatever date, they go back in time with a sick old clone of you who's dying of cancer, put this unthinking dead body in the bed, take you before you die,
cure you,
and give you billions of dollars and your 500 years in the future.
It's a deal. I think it's worth a gamble.
And
how
the
much
thing
is it?
It's $10.
I'm doing
and
it.
And whether they're a scam and they're just getting $10, that's worth it. That's an awesome enough scam. Here's $10. That's cool. And
just
if it's not a scam, like, well, here's $10.
And again, on religion, that's cheaper than religion. You don't have to pay a 10% tithe.
$10. $10.
I'm skipping
they
Taco Bell on the way home.
And they did it. I did it in like 2006 or something. So I'm already covered.
You did it?
I did it. But, I did it a long time
you,
ago.
Do they tell you how you're going to die, though? Like, do they give you a detailed
they
report
don't
or something?
Know.
They don't know.
Like,
they're
they
saying
don't know, but 500 years from now, the fund, like their company that they've set up.
Oh,
with
so
all
you
these
actually
people.
Will die.
No. Before you die, they get you, but they replace you with a clone who's going to die. Because someone has to die to keep history
so you're
accurate.
A clone.
No. They take you. So if you're going to die in a car wreck.
No.
No, Dave's making sense.
No. If you're gonna die in a car wreck, they take you out of the car. They put a clone in the car.
Yeah, I get that, but how do they know you're gonna die?
So like, in 500 years, they'll know history. Right. So they'll look in their database and say, "Oh, yes. Brad Taylor died in a car accident. He died in the basement for arguing about time travel because he didn't understand." And then they go back, steal you, put another dead body where it's supposed to be, and then take you to the future.
Absolutely.
And then you get your
get
money
that.
You invested.
I get that.
Okay.
But now what about so they're already 500 years in the future. They'd have to be to save you from dying right now.
Yeah.
That's what I asked. And you said, no.
No, you asked if you were going to be a clone.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, so then you've already died because it's 500 years in the future. They would already know how you died. They should be able to give you a report of how you died.
No, they will. They know exactly how you died. And once you show up 500 years in the future, they're like, oh, this happened. This is real. Hmm. You died in a car wreck. We put a clone of you to die. So the coroners get it and it's your body. And they're like, yep, he died in a car wreck. So our records are accurate. And you have a body buried in the ground.
I don't know if I'm that gullible.
Here's billions of dollars and welcome to the future.
Well, I might invest $10. We'll see. That'd be interesting.
Totally. I think it's worth it.
So I did mention the Montauk. We talked about the Montauk monster in a past episode. If you want to travel back in time on iTunes and listen to that episode, the Montauk Monster, it's an island off the coast of New York.
Yep.
And they perform all these crazy experiments, supposedly, which
Plum
we
Lake,
talked about it.
Plum Island Research Center.
And this is tied into time travel. So the Montauk Air Force Station reportedly has a real time tunnel in its subterranean laboratory, allowing its scientists to travel back to 1943. It was a story told by two men. So interesting that these things tie into each other like that. We talked about all types of experiments they were doing. Now it's tied into time travel. So if you guys want to check out that episode, Sofa King Podcast on iTunes, you can also get it on our website at sofakingpodcast.com. Any other things we want to shout out?
Sponsors? Let us know if you don't like this episode. We'll go back and change it.
Yeah,
we can. Right. We can
do
that
for have
sure.
the power to go back in time
and change whatever things. We want. So give a shout out to This Is an Edit from the Future. No?
Nope, because we're on the radio and we're not allowed to give our sponsors shout outs.
I take that back. I'm going to cut that out. So you didn't even hear that.
But you could go check out Project VCR.
Project VCR.
They're our friends
iTunes.
And they have a cool podcast on iTunes. Project VCR, it's Vintage Cinema Reviews, which is pretty clever. And listen to me on October 21st, 2015.
And don't be a retard.